Hello, everyone. Welcome to the When It Works podcast. You're with your host, Julian Leahy. Today, I'm joined by the fantastic Steve Lowell.
Don't forget, Collabpalooza Tuesday night. We will create 32 pieces of content every week. Tuesday night, Collabpalooza.
Just waiting for a little ad to finish there. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Julian. Happy to be here.
Now, how did I go with the surname?
You were close. It's Lowell.
Lowell, okay.
But it's interesting because normally folks from your part of the world pronounce it Lowell.
Yeah.
So we get that in Australia, we get that in New Zealand, but the proper pronunciation is Lowell.
Lowell, okay. Let's go with that, yeah. And I'll try my best. All right, Steve, we're going to play Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And the idea of this is to, if you're not sure, use your lifelines and try and go as far as you can. And if you make it all the way, you qualify for the Champions Round where we play for real cash. And then afterwards, we're going to talk to Steve all about his wonderful public speaking business. And don't forget to use your lifelines. Let's bring up the first question. Because of how they are paid, what Hollywood professionals are known as 10 percenters? Stuntmen, executive producers, talent agents, or set designers?
I have absolutely no clue.
Not really okay. The niche you're in. If you were to guess without using a lifeline, what would you be going towards?
I'm going to say, because of that, I don't even know the 10%ers, I am going to say the talent agents. C. Final answer.
Well, that's he's locking it in. Let's take a look. Could be out in the first question. No lifelines.
Yeah.
He's correct. Well done, Steve.
Wow.
Great, great start. Yeah, don't forget, cool. Use your lifelines if you're not sure. How many rays shoot out from the Statue of Liberty's crown? 4, 5, 6, or 7?
I'm going to use a lifeline.
You got a 50-50 split. Poll the audience or 30 seconds to Google on your phone.
All right, hold on. I'm going to go 30 seconds to Google on my phone.
All right, time starts now.
All right.
How many rays shoot out from the Statue of Liberty's crown? 4, 5, 6, or 7?
I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, 4. It's hard to say. Can't zoom in on it, so I'm going to say 4, final answer.
So your Googling was a bit fruitless, was it?
Uh-oh. Yeah, I tried to zoom in on the photo, but it's I couldn't get a clear one.
Okay, seconds. I thought you were going to actually Google it. Well, you've still got another lifeline. Let's try a 50-50 split, see if we can help you out.
Was 4 incorrect? Was that incorrect? Oh, well, then I don't know.
I got a feeling it is incorrect, but your answer's still in there. So
yeah,
that's your clue.
Yeah, so I'm going to say it's B, 5.
Let's lock it in.
Unless I'm not reading the clue.
I've given you the biggest bum steer. So we're going to continue on and pretend that was correct because you had it correct. You had it correct. All right.
I did have it correct.
Yes. All right. Okay. So let's just forget that. You're still proceeding. Hillary Clinton's 1996 bestseller was based on the African proverb, "It takes a whole village to do what? Dig for water, harvest a crop, raise a child, or ensure safety?"
C, raise a child. Final answer.
Raise a child. Final answer. And I'm just going to reveal that one. That is correct. I've given you back your previous lifeline as well, which I caused you to lose. Born in New York, the legendary outlaw William H. Bonney Jr. was better known as Billy the What? Bank robber, kid, killer, or gangster?
B, kid, final answer.
Billy the Kid. Well done, Steve. You've got 2 lifelines left. You're doing very well at the $750 mark. Continuing on, in 2010, country star Kenny Chesney's 40-acre home was all wet when floods washed over what city? Florida, Los Angeles, Cleveland, or Nashville? 2010.
Yeah, I'm guessing. I'm going to say Nashville.
Just based on its association with country music?
Yeah, just based on that. Yeah.
All right, let's take a look. Well done, Steve. No problem at all. That's correct. You're at the $1,000 safe zone. Continuing on.
Cool.
In 2009, Lego introduced a new toy model made of what architect's iconic Guggenheim Museum? Antoni Gaudi, Zaha Hadid, Mies van der Rohe, or Frank Lloyd Wright? Who designed the Guggenheim? I always thought it was George Constanza.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, let's go to a lifeline because I have absolutely no clue.
Okay, no idea. Let's poll the audience. I think the 50-50 split might leave you still unsure.
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay, let's poll the audience. Let's get those votes in. And we need to find out the answer to this one. In 2009, Lego introduced a new toy model made of what architect's iconic Guggenheim Museum? Antoni Gaudi, Zaha Hadid, Mies van der Rohe, or Frank Lloyd Wright? All right, we've got the selections in. There is definitely a strong leader, D, Frank Lloyd Wright.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with the audience and also like D, the final answer.
Let's lock in D. Audience is correct, as they often are. Continuing on, developed by an elementary school teacher, Airborne is a popular herbal remedy that aims to do what? Cure blindness, or the common cold, Ebola, or chicken pox? Airborne, the herbal remedy. What's it for?
Yeah, I've never heard of it, but I'm gonna guess it's B, the common cold.
Common cold.
Final answer.
Is correct. Well done, Steve. Yes, it's very unlikely to be fixing blindness and Ebola, that's for sure. Continuing on. Aimed at worn-out parents, the title of a best-selling 2011 kids' book parody profanely urges kids to do what? Leave me alone, get a job, go to sleep, cook me some eggs. Aimed at worn-out parents, the title of a best-selling 2011 kids' book parody profanely urges kids to do what? Leave me alone, get a job, go to sleep, cook me some eggs. And I think the audible version is done, voiced by Samuel L. Jackson.
Really? I don't know. I've never heard of this book either. I guess I'm not very worldly. So let's use the 50-50 lifeline.
50-50 split, final lifeline. It's go to sleep or get a job.
And this is a kid's book.
Kid's book.
All right. Well, if it's a kid's book, then I'm going to guess and say C, go to sleep. Final answer.
Lock it in. C is correct. Well done, Steve. You did need to use that lifeline. And it's called Go the F to Sleep, I believe.
Okay.
I mean, I've thought it. I don't think I've said it. Okay, continuing on. Despite its international sounding name, which of these foods was actually invented in the US? French fries, German chocolate cake, maple syrup, or French onion soup? Do you know where French fries were invented?
I'm going to guess it is a French fries.
Really?
Final answer.
Okay, yeah. Let's lock it in.
I don't really know.
Unfortunately, German chocolate cake is the answer. French fries, I think, were invented in Belgium, believe it or not.
Oh, but okay.
Well done. Let's do the applause. Well done, Steve. You gave it a valiant effort. Some very tough questions there. And that's just the way it is. This game, once you get it wrong, you are knocked out.
Out
like that, Steve. And tell us a little bit about the fantastic things you're doing. You've done a lot of speaking, a lot of writing, mm-hmm. and I guess you're most known as a speaker. And I guess you are in the business of helping people become better speakers and also make money doing so. Would that be a fair summation?
Yeah, I think my primary focus is helping experts, entrepreneurs, people who have a story, people who have a message, or people who have a product or a program to fill. And what I do is I help them accomplish those things through speaking. So I would say I'm known more as a high-end speaking mentor than a speaker after that, because I use speaking to fill my programs. And so it's kind of like this circle thing, but that's what I do.
And what types of people are kind of the ideal prospect that you can help?
Well, there are several groups. So one group is coaches with a program to fill. So life coaches, business coaches, health coaches, all different kind of coaches who have a program to fill, and they want to use speaking as one of the avenues to fill the program. Another category is going to be experts and thought leaders who have an idea to share, and they have developed something or come up with something, an idea, and they want to share it with the world. And part of that is through speaking. Work a lot with adventurers, people who have accomplished amazing things, broken world records, or climbed mountains or swam oceans or done really crazy superhuman things, and they want to bring that story and the lessons they've shared to the world. Work with a lot with survivors. These are people who have overcome major obstacles in their life, some of it traumatic, some of it emotional, some of it physical, spiritual, whatever the big trauma is, a big traumatic story, and who have overcome that, they have lessons to share with the world. So we work a lot with them. And then entrepreneurs who have spent most of their career. These will be doctors and healers and lawyers and, different types of professionals who have dedicated 30, 40, 50 years of their life mastering their craft. And now they want to bring it to the world in a different way, maybe through e-learning or through speaking or workshops or training or whatever. And so they're planning like their Act B for their life. So those are the main groups that we work with. And the common denominator between all of those groups is that they all want to use some form of the spoken word in order to advance that desired outcome.
And what's the kind of broad strategy, I guess? Let's talk about, like, for an entrepreneur that's accomplished a lot in a particular area and they want to move into that next phase, like you talked about. What's the plan of action? What are some of the things that need to be set up and done, and how do they go about doing them, generally speaking?
Yeah, so if you're talking about people who primarily want to use speaking to drive something, so most of our clients want to drive some sort of a business using speaking, and others just want to, evangelize a message. So there are two different setups, two different sets of outcomes. So with our clients who want to drive business, we need to make sure that they actually have something to sell that people are willing to pay for, right? So you need to have something that people want, people need, and they're willing to pay for. And that's kind of the first thing if you want to drive business. And then the next thing is to craft a message that has that desired outcome and that is strategically designed and tactically delivered in order to guide an audience to that specific outcome. And so a lot of folks are under the misconception that if I get on a stage and tell my story, people are going to want to buy from me or hire me. Or if I get on a stage or a screen and I educate people, if I teach them enough good stuff, then they're going to want to hire me or buy from me. And the reality is that's just not the way it is. There are strategies and techniques involved in everything from designing the message to executing the message to how you show up and how you present. So my job is to help people craft that. But the first thing I look at is, do you actually have something that we can drive people to that is ultimately at some point going to lead to revenue? And then we backwards engineer the message and craft the delivery to achieve that desired outcome.
Yeah, so the story is an important part, but it needs to be sort of reframed in a way that solves a problem to a particular audience. Would you say that's a fair summary?
Well, sort of. That's the sort of common assumption that I hear all the time. If, you know, I hear this from a lot of other speaker coaches and people that I, you know, speak with on podcasts, and they make the assumption that, you know, the story has to solve a problem. And the reality is this: the story should not solve a problem. The story should reveal a problem. You see, the thing is, Julian, anytime that you speak or present in front of an audience, whether it's a virtual audience like this or a live audience, you're positioning yourself in one of two ways. And there are only two. Anytime you speak in front of an audience or present yourself in front of an audience, you're either positioning yourself as somebody they need or somebody they don't. And so most people are under the assumption that if I get on the stage or on the screen and I solve a problem, I'm going to position myself as somebody they need. But the reality is, if your audience walks away thinking they have the solution to their problem, then you've just positioned yourself as somebody they don't need because they think they can solve their problem. And then, of course, the big risk is they're going to go out and try everything you taught them. They won't be able to implement. It's not going to work. And then they're going to blame you. So the strategy is not to solve a problem. The strategy is to reveal the actual cause of a problem. The strategy is to get the audience to kind of think like this. You want the audience to go, you know, I've never thought of it that way before. It's never occurred to me to do that. Or, you know, I've never heard it that way before. We want to rattle their beliefs a little bit. We want to shake their paradigms and reset their expectations so that they realize that they are doing something wrong, that there's a bigger problem that needs to be solved that's causing the problem that they experience. And that's the strategy.
And Steve, what are some of the things that you see people doing wrong in terms of monetizing their speaking?
Oh, there's a myriad things. Most people have no idea how to monetize their speaking. And that's not a criticism. It's just that they've never been properly taught. Most people, and I did this for years, Julian, this is a big mistake I made for decades, is my thought was, if I give them, you know, I used to call it crazy, ridiculous, inhuman value, which means if I get on that stage or on that screen and I just teach them like such amazing things, and if they walk away with, oh, this great package of knowledge and information, then they're going to think I'm awesome. And if they think I'm awesome, then they're going to join my program. And the reality is the exact opposite was true. They thought I was awesome, but they weren't joining my programs because they thought they had everything that they needed. And so what I've learned since then, and I've been in the business now for almost 40 years, but what I've learned is this: speaking is not about a transference of information or knowledge. I mean, transference of information and knowledge happens, but that's not the purpose of speaking. Speaking is about a transference of emotion, which means if I can get you to feel the way I feel about my message and my products and services and all those things, now we have communication and now we're more likely to investigate how we can work together. But if all I do is give you a bunch of information and a whole bunch of solutions and options and to-dos and all of these techniques and tactics, then you're not getting excited. You're not seeing opportunity. You're not seeing a bigger picture. All you've got is this package of things that you can try. And chances are excellent in a 45 or 60 minute talk, you're not going to be able to develop the skill to implement those things. So I would say that's the biggest problem among many that most fledgling speakers who try to use speaking as an entrepreneurial tool, that's the biggest mistake they use, is they come up and they teach and they overteach and they solve problems and they try and position themselves that way, and it rarely works.
Yes, it's like with copywriting on sales websites, where you want to push the emotional buttons, twist the knife, so to speak, and then offer the bridge that solves the problem. I guess that's kind of basically what you're trying to implement with successful speaking. Does that sound accurate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Wonderful. And what can people expect if they want to get into your world? So I've got your website up here, and do you have a call with people? Well, how does it work if people want to get in touch with you?
Yeah, so there's a number of different ways to work with us, depending on the budget and the objective and all those things. So what they can expect is either to have a call with mostly with my wife, Jane, and she'll talk to them about what their options are and how they might get involved. And then once we have that call with Jane, decision is made whether or not we can be of value, and then how can we be of value. And then we guide them to one of our programs, and it might be an e-learning program, you know, sort of a self-directed thing, or it might be a one-on-one mentorship, which is, of course, you know, the sort of the higher end of things. So there's no one size fits all, but the general areas in which we help people are to help them craft what we call their 100K signature talk. It's a signature talk that they can use. And if they do things the way we advise, chances are superb. They're going to generate 100K or more in business with that talk, you know, in a reasonable time. Another way that we help people is to help them bring in prospects and leads into their business through evergreen webinars. So we teach them how to craft an evergreen webinar and how to launch it and all of those things, and how to use podcast guesting like this and other ways to drive traffic to those webinars. And then those two categories generally lead to some form of one-on-one training with me, or they come and become a guest speaker at one of our events. So there's multiple ways that we work with people depending on what the desired outcome is and, of course, what the budget is.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, and if you're out there and you want to start getting yourself out there a little bit more, speaking is obviously a great way to do so. And maybe you've written a book. Do you help people, mm-hmm. authors, quite often?
Oh yeah, almost all of our clients are authors. Usually nonfiction authors, people who write fiction books, fantasy books, and you know adventure books. They're generally not our audience because we don't teach theater type things. But people who come to us have books that they've written that showcase their expertise. And so it's one of the things that we do recommend. If we have clients who don't have a book, that's one of the things we do is say, you need to get a book. And nowadays, as you know, I'm sure, Julian, it's not that difficult to write a book and get it up on Amazon. And the reason you need to have a book is because it's that just that little extra edge of credibility that, you know, that people can say, okay, you know, this person is at least dedicated enough to write and publish a book.
Yeah, the other good thing about books is that it gives something for people to go away and read, and they really start to feel attached to you, and you might hear back from them later on, and after they've read the book, they really know what you're all about and how you can help them. Tell us about your most recent book, Steve.
Well, my most recent book is called Deep Thought Strategy. I wrote it a couple of years ago. And Deep Thought Strategy is a number one international bestseller on Amazon. And it is it describes a very specific process for doing exactly what I mentioned to you. It's a process that I developed. How do you create a system that makes an audience go, wow, okay, I'm in the wrong spot. I have to do this other thing. I haven't thought of it like this before. How do you create that? But my previous book, one of them was called From Stage Fright to Spotlight. And I'd like to give it away to your audience, if that's okay. Can I do that?
Absolutely. Okay. How do people get a copy of that?
Yeah, they can go to stevelowell.com/free book. And this is what they'll see there. This is a page, and they'll be able to just sign in and get the book immediately. It's a PDF copy of it. So that's stevelowell.com/free-book. And they'll be able to download that right away. And it's, I wrote that, I think, in 2010 or 2011 or something. And then, you know, I wrote it because so many of my clients were authors, and they were coming to my courses and they wanted to take the message in their book and bring it to the stage. And I don't actually really like to write that much, so I hadn't written a book. But so many of them were authors, and I had these publishing companies feeding me clients. So I thought at some point I better write a book. If I'm going to serve authors, I should probably be one. So I wrote the book, and it's kind of cool. You know, it's a bit of a bathroom reader. You can, because it's all 99 tips, you know, and so you can pick it up anywhere and there's value in there. And I just kind of let it sit there for a while. And then after a few years, I thought I should probably do something more with it. So we did the full campaign, and it's a number one international best-selling book as well. And it's the one I like to give away because it's at a level where everybody gets value, whether you're a new speaker just stepping into the game, or if you've been in the business for 20 years, there are tips and techniques in there that are not anywhere else in the world. And there's some pretty cool ideas in there to use.
It seems like a good first base because it addresses the fear of speaking, which is that first barrier a lot of people have in terms of doing anything, whether it being podcasting, going on YouTube. And if you are thinking of writing a book, Steve addresses that and you can sort of get into his world. So I'll change the link in the show notes so that it'll go straight to that free book. And if you want to have a chat with Steve or his wife, Jane, steve@lowell.com. Steve's got a lot of experience in a very valuable skill, which is public speaking, developing your messaging, getting that out there. And it's really something that it'll transform you, won't it, Steve, if you get this under control and get a strategy for this?
Oh, sure. You know, when you go to conferences or when you're on an event with a virtual speaker, generally the person on the stage, the expert on the stage, is the one that's going to get the business. And that's one of the reasons why they're on the stage or on the screen. I mean, you know, we do this to deliver value to our audience and to serve the world and all of those things, of course. And we also do this to build our lists and to market our business. I mean, it's one of the motivations for you. I know you've got this great content Palooza thing coming up, which looks really awesome. That's great. And I do guesting like this, and I speak on stages all over the world. And so speaking is one of those skills that you can leverage to grow your business, change the world, help others, hone your craft, and just become all around better at what you do.
Yes. And honestly, this is one of the Steve's stuff, his website, his books. It has very clear messaging, and I just immediately see the value in it. If you are one of these people out there that you know, is looking for help, I would say have a chat to Steve and just get a plan moving forward for getting yourself out there and get over all of those hurdles, because there's not often people come on and I say, look, this is good value stuff. But it really is a high value skill. So thank you very much, Steve Lowell. Some fantastic, useful information, Steve.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Julian. This has been fun. I love the work that you're doing, and stay on it and let me know how I can serve.
Wonderful. Well, thanks everyone for listening and watching. I'm going to wrap things up. See you next time. Bye.